God does that and so much more. He does that in our lives and so much more. He truly is the bringer of new, which is actually what we are going to be talking about today. All things new. For God makes all things new again. He brings new life to us. He restores us. He does this fancy word we use in church circles and theological circles called regeneration. That he would just come into our lives in power and completely take this dead shell and rise it back to life. And this is the work of Jesus when he came that very first Christmas day. And it is still Christmas. It is still a season of new, the newness of Jesus is coming into our lives. So I say to you, Merry Christmas. And this is not a late season greeting because it is the season of Christmas. Today brought to you by two turtle doves, which are a symbolic representation of the Old and the New Testament. In fact, every single one of the 12 days of Christmas in the song, the 12 days of Christmas, you ever wonder why there was a song, the 12 days of Christmas? Because there's 12 days. And every one of the gifts on the 12 days of Christmas represents something. Two turtle doves, the Old and the New Testament. A partridge in a pear tree, representing Jesus on the cross. Tomorrow, three French hens, the Christian virtues of faith, hope, and love. Every day represents something. And we'll be talking about that every day of our reading plan this coming week and the next. That day brought to you by 11 Pipers Piping, whatever it may be. Makes you really want to listen to our daily audio reading plan, doesn't it? On a serious note. It is still Christmas, and it is a season of renewal and new life. No wonder we also have another season or day of renewal that we celebrate in our culture. A secular celebration, nonetheless, but still a celebration of newness. Does anybody know what I'm referring to? New Year's. New Year's is upon us. 2022 is almost here. Can you believe that?
No.
I can't either. I'm so proud of my wife. She finally succeeded at her New Year's resolution, and that was to drive in Visalia. Unfortunately, right now, she has no choice. She has to drive in Visalia, but she drove in Visalia for the first time this last week. We've been here for over 2.5 years, and she's finally done it. So give her a hand. When she's not in here, so I can say these things, but I'm going to get it afterwards. We make resolutions, we make goals, because we believe that the passing of every year is newness. But it's not a calendar that brings newness. It is Jesus. Jesus is the bringer of the new. Jesus is the one that brings about newness, and this is something that we celebrate each and every Christmas season. The reason we worship the baby in the manger, the reason we come and adore him, is because he brings something completely and utterly new. Like our call to worship from Isaiah proclaimed in Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Something Isaiah will also say in verse 65, or chapter 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. Jesus indeed comes and brings about a new thing, a new covenant, a new life, as he will proclaim in Revelation 21:5. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, Write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Jesus comes to bring restoration. Jesus comes to renew us. Jesus comes to give us new life, restoration and regeneration of not just you and me, but the whole cosmos, the whole of creation. It is the reason for his first coming. Wouldn't that be nice to be new again? Wouldn't that just be so nice? I think about the past week and a half of moving. Every bone in my body still hurts. My feet just are painfully, terribly hurting right now. And it's just like, gosh, it would just feel so great to be new again. It would feel so great to be able to go out right now and run 8 miles like I used to, which is something I had to give up on a long time ago when I had brain cancer. It's just something that never returned to me, and I've had to resolve in myself. There's things I did in my youth, like run marathons, that I'll probably no longer be able to do in this life. But wait, there is always the next. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of marathons for me to run in the new heaven and the new earth. The point being, wouldn't it be nice to be made new again? Sometimes I don't feel so new. I don't know about you. Sometimes I feel the aches and pains of this life. Sometimes, all the time, I feel the weight of the suffering around me and in me. I feel the burden of life a lot. Things don't seem very new. And Jesus came to make things new, did he not? Something isn't right. Clearly, something has gone wrong. Something did go wrong. Something went wrong very, very long ago in the garden when we chose to willfully disobey God and sin. When we chose to miss the mark, which is what the word sin actually is. It is an archery term in Greek, harmartia, and it literally meant to miss the target. If you missed the target, you would shout out harmartia in Greek. That is what sin is. It's missing the mark. It is falling short of the measure. It is missing the point completely. Because when God created the heavens and the earth, it makes something very clear to us in the Word of God, time and time again in chapter 1 of Genesis. It was what? It was good. And then once in Genesis 1:31, God says it was very good. When he was done with all this creative work, it wasn't just good, it was very good. It was perfect. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And I'm going to say that again. It was perfect. However, something happened. Sin entered the world because of us. We chose to disobey God. We chose to try to do it our own way. We chose to add something to creation that never was meant to be added. And with that addition of sin, we brought about death. We brought about pain. We brought about suffering. Things that God never intended in his creation ever to be part of, we brought it about. And the whole story of the Bible shows us just this. Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation 20 shows us what our sin has brought. What our sins have caused. If you don't believe me, take some time to review Genesis 3 to Revelation 20. And if you don't know how you're going to do that, we're starting a brand new reading plan January 1st, and you can do that with us together as a family of families. I digress, though. The point being, after sin, creation was no longer very good. It was no longer good. It was bad. And you just read those first few chapters after Genesis 3, and what do we see? A continual downward spiral of humanity where brother will kill brother, the first murder, where people will be taken as slaves and in chains, where just these terrible atrocities, like we would look at these things in today's eyes and go, how could that ever be? We would never do that. We're the ones that did it. And throughout history, we have been the ones. For we, all of humanity, are connected. Whether we like it or not, we are connected together. And we have been spiraling downward and downward and downward due to our brokenness in sin. The Bible testifies to this. The Bible shows us this. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who is the one, the only one, who will, who has, and continues to make us new again. Someone best illustrated this for me using art. And I want to try to do that today by showing you some beautiful art and then some even more beautiful art, my art. Has anybody heard of Vincent van Gogh?
Yeah.
The Starry Night. I love that painting. I got a picture of it. It is considered a masterpiece. Of course, unfortunately, it was never considered a masterpiece during Van Gogh's life, but today it is considered a masterpiece. Now, imagine if I added a doodle of myself on here. And I think I got, there I am. Isn't it so much better now? Then I painted some happy trees on it to honor Bob Ross. You know, he would love my happy trees. Isn't it so much better right now? Mom, if I printed that out, you would hang it on our new fridge, wouldn't you? The point being, my additions ruined the masterpiece. It no longer is a masterpiece because I added something that was never meant to be there. I'm not the master artist. Even if it was just a doodle of me that we have up right now, it's still ruined. It's not a masterpiece, it's junk. It's no good. What was the masterpiece was the original. The original, that is the thing we call a masterpiece. The moment we add to it, the moment we take away from it, it loses its value. The same is true with God's creation. And boy, did we add and take away a lot. Did we say, hey, God, we are going to take this. We got this. We're in control now. And we messed things up mightily in a major and big way. Thanks be to God for his mercy. Thanks be to God for his grace. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who came to regenerate us, to make us new again. Now, you may say, I still have aches and pains. I still see suffering and death all around me. Things don't seem very new. And what we need to understand about the newness that Christ brings is it is a now but not yet newness. For now we live in this time in between ages. We live in a time with the age that was and the age that is to come. For Jesus Christ will come again. Just like he advented into this world over 2,000 years ago, he will advent once again and set the record straight once and for all, which is something we talked about quite a bit this year in the summer. We talked about how Jesus would come again victoriously and how that's what the Bible teaches us. Well, what about now? What are we to do now? Does that mean we just sit around twiddling our thumbs? No. We become new now. We receive new birth in Christ, a newness of life in Christ right here and right now. And though our bodies will still perish and wither away on this earth, we know within us is contained a great and glorious treasure, that newness of life, that the day that Jesus would return, we would rise again. Not just as some unembodied spirit, but we would rise again in body, in new bodies that aren't perishable like our current bodies. Imperishable. Created how they are meant to be created before we ever sinned. And though our physical bodies would perish away right now, the day is coming. The day is coming where Jesus will restore all things. And he will indeed do a new thing, make a new heaven and a new earth. And that newness starts now inside of us. It's not a physical newness right now. It will be. It is a spiritual newness. It is a newness that comes from within us and goes out from us into others. It's a newness that comes from when the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us and leads us and guides us to become new creations. As Paul would say best in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Does this describe your walk with Christ? Has the old passed away and has the new come? What's holding you back? What from the old are you just grappling towards and just trying to desperately hold on to that you won't let go of? What's that thing in your life that keeps you from experiencing the new life that has come? Paul would also say in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can we say those words? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Can we say those words? What is it in the old that is supposed to pass that we're not letting go of? What is it that's holding us back from experiencing the newness of life right here, right now, that he came to give, the perfection of life that he came to give, that ushers us into that new and better Eden, those new heavens and those new earth, where the sufferings and pains and sorrows of today will be a thing of the past. For behold, he is doing a new thing. He is doing a new thing, just like the prophet Isaiah proclaimed he would. He is making a path in the wilderness. He is bringing rivers to the desert. He is refreshing and restoring life all around us. As 1 Peter 1, 3-4 says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. An inheritance that is perfect. A new and better Eden that is to come through the restoration and reconciliation of all things. Through your faith in Jesus Christ. It's no wonder Paul said, if you were to be saved, you need to profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe God did what? I heard someone whisper it. Raise him from the dead. That God raised him from the dead. That you would profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. If you do this, he says, you too would be saved. Well, what is it about professing the fact that Jesus is Lord? Why is that important? To experience the newness of life, the new birth that he comes to bring you and I. What is it about that? Because we have to understand who our Lord and Master is. Because sin was caused by us trying to take the reins of the chariot and drive it our own, ourselves. Sin was caused by us telling God, no, I think we got this. I think we can take care of ourselves. I think we can handle it, God. It's nice that you're there, but you know, we're going to do our own thing now. And that's what sin is. It's us telling the potter, as the prophet Jeremiah would say, telling the master potter, no, we want to be this vessel. I know you made me a bowl, but I think I'd make a good cup. I think I'd make a great cup. No, you know, you made me a great plate, but I think I'm just going to turn myself into an ashtray. And that's literally what we did. We took ourselves, this honorable vessel that God made, and we turned it into a place for ashes. We turned it into a place for death. Because we thought we knew better. We forgot who the Lord and Master and Creator of the universe was, and it was God Almighty. And we told him we could do it better. The audacity of that. He speaks stars into existence, whole galaxies and universes, and we say we can do it better. We know better. The way I choose to live is better than the way that you have prescribed for me, God. The audacity of that. God knows the best way to live. He has shown us the best way to live. He has revealed it to us through his word. He has given us the way to freedom if we would but choose it and declare him as our Lord. But to declare him as our Lord is to say, Lord, we're going to follow you. We're going to walk with you. We're going to serve you, and we're going to do what you tell us to do, which means we're going to serve one another. We're going to love one another. We're going to bear with one another. We're going to care for one another just like you did with us. We're going to show mercy, forgiveness, and grace to all of humanity. We're going to treat them with love and respect because that is what a son and daughter of you deserves. And we are indeed your children, brothers and sisters, desperately in need of our Master to show us a new and better way. We have to profess that Jesus is our Lord. What's next then? Something about believing that God did something. We have to believe that God did something. I think it was something about raising Jesus from the dead. Why is that even important? As Paul would say, if there was no resurrection, our faith is futile. It's all in vain. Because Jesus' bodily resurrection is proof of the work that he is doing in you and in me. It is proof that he truly does bring new life. He brings restoration, that he can bring revival, which is literally coming in and bringing what was dead back to life. Because we cannot be mistaken, Jesus was dead. There was no breath in his lung. There was no blood flowing through his veins. He was dead in that tomb. But the power of the Spirit rose him again. That same power that rose Jesus will raise you and me. If we would profess him as our Lord, live for him as our Lord, and believe that God did that. Because God did. God did every bit of that. And with that, he threw away the trash. He threw away all the death and decay that our sin had brought. And he promised that new heaven and that new earth, that new and better Eden, something that we long for and eagerly anticipate with his second advent, his second coming. For it is then that Jesus says in Revelation chapter 21. Remember, we see the mess of humanity from Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation 20. The mess of humanity, we see it over and over again, but we also see the great redemption story of God's plan to redeem all things once again, bringing us to Revelation 21:5, where we see those beautiful words of him who was seated on the throne that say, "Behold, behold, I am making all things new. Behold, I am making all things new." And here's the good news. We don't have to wait for that day to be made new. Sure, our bodies, these mortal shells, will perish. But he is working newness in you. Through the power and gifting of his Holy Spirit, he is working that newness in you so that we could put to death the things of old and put on the newness of life that is in Christ. We can live it here and now. Though our physical reality perishes, our inward life regenerates. It grows forth and springs forth into new life. There's a picture, and I searched everywhere on the internet for it, but I couldn't find it, that perfectly shows this. It's a tree stump. Boy, don't you want to see a picture of a tree stump right now? I do. I couldn't find this particular one. It's a tree stump. You know, the tree had been cut down many years ago. You could tell the stump was old and decaying. And you know what was springing forth from that stump? Another tree. Another tree was springing forth out of that old, rotten stump. And that is what God's doing inside of you, each and every one of you. If you have professed that Jesus is Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, he is doing this work inside of you. But you got to ask, what is now dead are you holding on to? Is there a sin? Is there a struggle in your life that you just haven't been able to let go of yet? Is there something from your former life that you just can't relinquish? Understand, God wants to make you new. He wants to free you from those bonds. He wants to free you from those shackles. He has made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ. Would you be made new? You see, the thing about this is Jesus didn't come to leave us in a helpless state until he would one day return. He didn't come to just leave us helplessly here while we were trying to figure out this whole newness thing. No, he didn't leave us in a helpless estate. But no, he has empowered us through his Spirit. His Holy Spirit will come and empower us, he says, and bring newness today. Newness of life here and now. Abundance of life here and now. To help us have that foretaste of the glory to come. For we can experience heaven on earth. We can experience the newness of life that Jesus brings right here, right now. But it will be but a foretaste. But we can experience it. It'll be a small taste of the great feast that is to come. And those small tastes empower us, encourage us, and spur us and others along to keep going. To keep breaking away from the past and to break forth into the future. God came. Jesus came that very first Christmas day so that we would be new again. That we would be renewed completely. Soul, mind, and body. Some of that is here now. That newness is here now, and some of it is yet to come. Don't miss out on the newness he's bringing you now. Let go of your past. Declare Jesus as your Lord. Follow him as your Lord. Serve him as your Lord. Believe in his resurrection. And believe that you may feel old today, but the day is coming where you won't feel old anymore. You'll feel renewed, for you will be made new. From the longest hair on your head to the longest toenail on your toe, you will be new again, just like this whole world will be made new again. Don't let anything hold you back. Be made new in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers, and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. As we go into a time of reflection and response today, as our worship team comes forward to lead us in that, I ask that we would do just that today. We would reflect upon this new thing that God said he's doing, this newness of life that Jesus says he brought and is bringing, that we would reflect upon that, and we would really search our lives and ask Christ to show us, what is it from our past? What is it from our sinful, helpless estate that we just won't let go of? And that if he would show us something, we would release that. We would relinquish it fully here today and be free from it. He has broken the bonds of slavery in your life. Be free. Be made new again this day.